Today is Pentecost Sunday. Here's how that breaks down. Day one is Easter Sunday. It's the Passover season. And then 7 weeks later, 50 days, day one would be Easter. Day 50 is Pentecost. It is the celebration of when the church received the power in fullness to do the work that Jesus Christ had established them to do. It's the day of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Now, Paul writes about it almost in every one of his letters to some level. If you're looking for it very carefully, it's spoken of quite specifically in the book of Acts, the day of Pentecost, but not only that, the continuation of that. We read several times through the book of Acts about people being baptized in the Holy Spirit at least five times, and three times it's referenced they spoke with other languages in a language they had not studied. I may just throw this out right there now for you. One of the things about speaking in tongues that I believe is so essential is it's a place where we say to God, I give you total control of my life, even including my language. And I'm going to allow you to speak through me in a way that I don't even know what I'm saying, but I trust that you're speaking through me, God. Paul talks about it in Romans. He says sometimes we pray with groans and utterings that cannot be understood, and lets us know about that. But the baptism of the Holy Spirit is available for us today. There is a command of Scripture that tells us to be filled with the Spirit. And Paul uses one very unique word to the Galatians. Unfortunately, and I studied it this week to make sure I had the right thought process on this. Unfortunately, a lot of the modern translations have taken the word out. And I think the reason they took the word out was not really trying to water it down as much as to make it relevant. The word is walk. Paul says, and if you go back and look at the Greek word, the word is very clearly walk. It's 100 times in the Bible, 97 in the New Testament. The word that's given there in the Greek language is the word walk. That's exactly what the word means, walk in the Spirit. I think because of our culture and generation, walking is not as ubiquitous for all of you high school graduates over here. That means universal, all over the place. It's not as pervasive, not as everywhere. And here's the way my cycle of transportation developed in my life. Maybe you can identify. When I was born, I couldn't do anything except just be there. My mom and dad had to hold me all the time. But before long, I learned to crawl. Now, I was told by my parents I was a very skilled crawler. I could get into places and on places they really didn't even want me to be. And that was part of the beginning of this whole transportation development in life. Then later on, I got to walk. Now, isn't it still one of the most amazing feats of human beings when a baby takes the first step? How many parents here can remember when your child took their first step? How many of you weren't there when they took the first step and you're still bitter about it today? I mean, parents taking us is a big deal. And I learned to walk. Then I learned before long to ride a tricycle. I was a speed bandit on my three-wheeled bike. You know, that tricycle, I could go anywhere with that. And then I got a bicycle a little bit later on. Then I advanced to a 10-speed. And so this goes kind of the journey of transportation. Then from there, that marvelous, wonderful day occurred when I turned 16 and I got my license. By the way, in 2 weeks, we're starting a new series. Kelly, you may still mention something about it at the end. A new Sunday night series. We'll have Sunday night church through the months of June, July, and August. It's going to be awesome, exciting, encouraging. The first one we're doing is called Real Life Stories from the Pastors of OFA. And so I'm telling you one right now, they'll be funny, they'll be serious, there'll be all kinds of stories. But the first day I had my license, I went and passed the test. I'm driving in my car to go on a car date by myself that night because I'm now 16 and I have my car. I'd already asked the girl before I got my license. I was pretty confident. Thank God that didn't backfire. But what did backfire, I was wanting to go to a really nice restaurant. And it was a different part of town. And on my way to make sure I knew how to get there, because there's nothing worse than getting lost on your first car date. Bad precedent is started right there. So I had reservations. So I drive over there, and as I'm driving west at about 5:30 at night and through some hills, the sun was in front of me, not setting yet, but just up there in vision. And it was like the road, if you're going out 86, all you Owosso people, towards 75, which is where I live now, at part of it, there's just four lanes. There's two on each side, no middle lane. Thank God for middle lanes. Can somebody say amen? This car had stopped to turn left. Long story, just to make this point to you. This car had stopped to turn left, and I topped a hill, and it was right there. And I slammed on the brakes and just barely with my right fender kind of caught the back of his left bumper. And my car was horribly scarred. It's called a wreck. It's what that's called, by the way. And we went to a different restaurant that night. And we'll be telling stories, not all like that, but just a little bit so you know who we are as people and stuff. But I got a car, and then when I got, guess what happened every time I got the next thing? I kind of got rid of the previous thing, or at least put it in a closet somewhere, or in the back side of a garage that I didn't need anymore. And so walking, and I've often thought this way, I don't walk anymore, you know, I mean, I don't have to. I have a car. That's why I got the car, so I wouldn't have to walk. But they tell us in studies the average American right now walks between 5,000 and 7,000 steps a day. Now, how many of you are step counters? Real high, let me see your hand. How many of you are going for at least 10,000 if you're a step counter? Anybody going for more than that? I won't ask the number, but yeah, good deal. There are these things called cars, guys, that you don't have to do that anymore. But we still walk a lot. Back in the days of Paul and even in the Old Testament, walking is a constant theme of a lifestyle that's talked about there. And Paul says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, he says, walk in the Spirit. And listen to this. He says, when you do this, it's a daily activity, a continual process. It's not something you do one time and then forget about. He says, be in the Spirit with every step that you take. A lot of the modern versions has, let the Spirit guide you, or let the Spirit direct you. Those are okay words, but they're not as good as the word Paul used originally, so leave him alone and let him use his word. Walk. Take every step of your life filled with the Spirit of God. Now, when you go back in the Old Testament, there are a lot of different words that are used for walk there. We're told in the Old Testament to walk in God's ways, to walk in light, to walk in obedience. We read about people who did not walk in the ways of God, and because of that, they were punished. You come to the New Testament, this is just a sampling of some of the words there. We're told to walk in wisdom, walk in faith, walk in grace, walk in truth, or walk in love, walk in a manner worthy of your calling, and we're told to be people who walk in the Spirit. I believe that walking in the Spirit is essential for being the person God wants you to be. Now, I told you the average person in America walks between 5,000 and 7,000 steps a day is what they say. We should be doing at least 10, but, you know, we have cars, so we don't do as much of that. But do you realize that if you do that, you will walk somewhere in the range of 2.5 million steps a year, and by the time your life is over, you probably will have walked over 100,000 miles. How many of you just feel like you're an incredible achiever right now? How many of you feel really tired right now? I need a nap. Pentecost, the word means 50. It's the 50th day, with Easter being the first day, and it's the place where the Spirit of God came upon the church of God and empowered them to do the work of God. Listen to me this morning. It is absolutely critical that we need to understand if the early church needed the power of the Holy Spirit for the day in which they lived, we must have the power of the Spirit as we walk through the path of life. It's not something for just every now and then occasion, not whenever you happen to make it to church, but every time you take a step, walk in the Spirit of God. Be filled with the Spirit of God. Let it saturate your being. Paul writes to the church at Ephesus, and he gives this command. He says, do not get drunk with wine, because that leads to all types of excessive living that are destructive. But instead, be filled with the Spirit. Let the Spirit of God fill your life. How many of you know you make better decisions when you're filled with the Spirit? How many of you know that you have trouble, you have a better attempt to control your temper when you are filled with the Spirit? There's a commercial a few years ago, I don't know if it's still out or not, but a company named BASF, I think was the name of it. And basically their commercial is, we don't make da-da-da, we just make that better. We don't make this, but we make that better. The Holy Spirit makes everything better in your life. On this day when we celebrate the outpouring of God's power upon His church, there's nothing more that we could do or nothing better that we could do than to make ourselves available to say, Holy Spirit, would you fill my life? Not only in this moment, but would you fill my life this week? Would you fill my life tomorrow when I go to work? Would you fill my life when I drop the kids off at school? Would you fill my life as I'm driving the car? You know, if the Holy Spirit is in you and you get caught off in traffic, I think you're going to be a little slower to respond with such anger. Flesh is like a weed that if it's unattended, it'll grow so fast and take over your life. But every day, be filled with the Spirit of God. Let me give you a picture of a mental picture here of what it means to be filled with the Spirit of God. Think of a glass. Think of a glass that maybe even has something in it that's not clean or pure. Matter of fact, I did this. I think it was this morning that I did this. I have a particular coffee mug in my office that I use only in April. It's a coffee mug from the Masters golf tournament, and I bought it online, and get it out every April when the Masters are being played. But sometimes I forget to empty it out or clean it very well, and I looked in it the day, and there's like stuff in the bottom there, and it's not horribly bad. It's just a little stained and whatever. There's not like animals in there. Don't overreact, people. It's okay. There's just some stain and some stuff in there. And so I did what you would do. I got a little soap and put in there and got some hot water and put in there. And I'll come back later and I'll scrub on it a little bit. And before long, you know what? It'll be usable. It'll be fine. I don't think I would have wanted to pour a fresh cup of coffee on it this morning. Might have been okay. How many of you know might's not a good word? But I cleaned it out, and I will clean it out later again this week and get it really cleaned out good, and I'll put it in the dishwasher, and I'll make sure it's all right. And then what happens, it becomes usable again, even though it was there. When the Holy Spirit is poured into your life, the Holy Spirit has this cleansing ability to push all of the junk that is in you out and make you fresh and clean. Now here's the issue. If we're every day being filled with the Spirit, like I said in Ephesians chapter 5, Paul says, be filled with the Spirit. That word filled in the Greek language is a word that comes to us in the perfect tense, in the aorist tense. It's a word that means keep on continually being filled with the Spirit at all times. That'd be like a pretty good English equivalent. Does that make sense? It's an over-emphatic statement that says this filling of the Holy Spirit is something that must be tended to and maintained at all times. Listen, we have the ability to look at our world and realize all the bad things that are there and just literally freak out. How many of you ever freak out at current events? If you read the newspaper, which I don't know what those are over here, but if you read the news on the internet, if you watch TV, we live in a day when there's just horrible things happening all around us. And I would suggest to you this morning that we've always needed the fullness of the Holy Spirit to be lived out in every believer's life, but we have never needed it like we need it today. And occasionally we do things where we kind of do a reset in church. We're doing it right now. We're not having community groups for June, July, and August. But that doesn't mean you get to stay home on Sunday night. We're having summer at OFA. Summer nights at OFA coming up. So we want you to be a part of that. But one thing it allows us to do when we come to September, it's kind of a restart, a relaunch. This is just me personally. If it helps you out, great. If it doesn't, just ignore it. But I've discovered in my own life that occasionally I just need to hit the reset button, the relaunch, the restart button. Not that anything's bad, not that anything's wrong, not that there's bad issues that I'm trying just to ignore, but I just need to have that freshness that comes from connecting with God. And I was praying about it this week and thinking about it. I thought, you know, on Pentecost Sunday, how awesome would it be if everybody at OFA said, I want to relaunch, a restart with the fullness of God in my life. Holy Spirit, saturate me. You know, the way that a cucumber becomes a dill pickle is it becomes saturated with a solution that causes that cucumber to take on the characteristics of the solution. When you are saturated with the Holy Spirit, listen to me, you don't have to put a bumper sticker on your car. If you do, that's fine, but if you do, please act right. I've got one on my car, but it's by the back window that I can roll down if I need to. If I'm acting too bad and I don't want to bring reproach upon our church, I'm just like, you know, and then I keep it up 99.9% of the time, so I don't put it down very often. But see, if we're all filled with the Holy Spirit, it affects everything we think, everything we do, and everything we say. It's my perspective that too often we struggle in life because we do not allow the Holy Spirit control in the way that we should. It's amazing how we celebrate our own individuality. How often we talk about my opinion, my rights. You know, those of you that are on the internet, you know, whatever the initials are, I can't think of it right now, but in my humble opinion that IMHO, whatever that thing is, man, that comes up all the time. It's basically people saying, oh, I have an opinion. I have a thought. And how many of you know when they say in my humble opinion, they don't really mean that? Here's my cry today. Holy Spirit, would you so saturate my life that I begin to act in a way that reflects on who you are? Could you fill my heart with the things that I need? And would you help me to understand today that there are things wrong in the world, but the first thing I need to do before I start taking a speck of dirt out of somebody else's eye is evaluate my own heart and help me to be the person you want me to be. Now, if you're here today and you're not a follower of Jesus, I'm just taking you to step two, but let me go back to step one real quick. Here's what the Bible says. If you haven't committed your life to Jesus Christ, Paul tells us in Romans chapter 10 that if you will believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead and you will confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, you shall be saved. I love that kind of promise. I love that kind of guarantee. He doesn't say might. Let me check it out and I'll get back to you. He says, if these things happen, you will be saved. You say, well, I don't know if I feel it or not. Well, it's a good thing we don't go on feelings. We base our faith in the Word of God, not how I feel. We base it in the Word of God. If you're not following Christ, I invite you to take that first step to become a child of God. If you've made that decision and you're a follower of Jesus, I invite you to join me today and say, Holy Spirit, saturate my life. I want to walk in the Spirit. So the average person walks between 5,000 and 7,000 steps a day or so from the different reports I read that told me that. How awesome would it be if at least 5,000 times in a day the Holy Spirit is directing what I do? The early church needed that power, and we need it today. I'm going to ask you all across the room to do this with me. Would you bow your heads for just a moment? If you're here today and you're not right with God, you haven't professed Jesus as Savior, would you simply lift a hand right now and say, I want Jesus Christ in my life. I want to know that I'm saved. I want to know that I'm going to heaven. I want the blessings of God for my life. Would you lift your hand right now all across the room? I want to know that I'm saved. I want to know that my sins are forgiven. I want to know that Jesus Christ is my Lord. All across the room, how many would there be? Thank you. How many others? That's what I need today, Pastor. I need to know that I'm saved. Let me ask a second question. How many of you would join me today and you would say, it is my goal, it is my prayer, it is my desire that I would be filled with the Holy Spirit in my life every step of every day. I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Would you raise your hand all across this room? Would you stand with me, everybody here, please? Prayer team, would you come and just stand across the front? If you raised your hand and you want someone to pray with you, we're gonna worship the Lord together for a few more minutes here. If you raised your hand and you want someone to pray with you, I invite you to step out from your seat. If you need salvation, if you just need some encouragement in prayer, if there's a need in your life that you need prayer for, I invite you to come to the front and find someone here. This song says, Holy Spirit, you are welcome. Would you let it be your prayer to God right now?